My dad had a lifelong passion for sharing God's word and pointing people to Jesus. Today, he brings a message of encouragement and assurance titled, When You Pass Through the Water, reminding you that even in life's most difficult seasons, the Lord is with you and will faithfully carry you through.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we have a sermon today that's going to bless you and help you. It's this wonderful scripture there where God says, when you pass through the rivers and you go through the floods and the fires, I'm with you and I'll help you. And the reason that is, we find out the reason, some of the reasons that we go through these things. So if you have a friend and you're kind of down, you know, or maybe somebody's kind of lonely, maybe somebody going in really hard times, just give them a ring. Tell them, tune us in. We'll be there in just a couple of minutes or so. But first of all, I want to share some of the letters we get. We get so many nice letters, and we want to thank all of you for sending letters, and we sometimes have questions. And all of you who make us gifts, we want to thank you for that. And because we're the only source of income we have is God's people, that's all. So, you know, it's just between us and you and the Lord. And it all has worked out now for over 40 years, so we'll just go that way. But here's some letters. Excuse me. The first one is from Oakland Park, Kansas. I am so pleased to watch and listen to you each Sunday. You uplift me each time. I am encouraged by your words and your preaching God's word. Jesus is my Savior since I was 18. I am now 68, a retired master carpenter. I love my career of helping people. A bit of laughter, he says. What kind of lights did Noah use on the ark? And the answer is floodlights. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Here's a letter from St. Cloud, Minnesota. Thank you, Pastor, for teaching the Word of God. I try to watch every Sunday morning. I've strayed away from God and sinned along the way several months, but I'm now getting back on track. Thank you. And that's part of our ministry. Is if you've drifted away from the Lord, and it's easier to drift. It's happened to me. It could happen to you. And maybe some of you, you were active in the church, or you walking with the Lord, and you were happy in the Lord, and then something happened, and you drifted a little bit, or you got upset about something, or I don't know. And then you find out that you're way off from God, and you can come back. He wants you to come back. And so I just pray that you'll do that. And then here's a letter we got from Indianola, Iowa. I, too, am in my 90s, 94, and try to remember this. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Now, I've never heard that. I'm 97, going on 98 pretty soon. And but he says, if you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Well, that simply means if you have life, there's a reason for you to have life. And that is to honor God. We are here to honor God. So many times we just live for ourselves. But the main purpose of man is to love God and to honor him and enjoy him forever. And so he's got it right on, serving the Lord and honoring the Lord. And then one more, Minnetonka, Minnesota. I'm a young woman in Minneapolis, Minnesota, recuperating from 3 knee surgeries due to a skiing accident. I am unable to sit comfortably for an hour at a church service, so I'm very thankful to be able to tune in now as I recover. My grandma, who is now in heaven, used to watch your program regularly when she couldn't make it to church, and she introduced me to you. Her faith continues to inspire me beyond her life. I thank you for your services and wish you continued good help and good health. And I just think, here it is, this grandma, these grandmas, you're hearing about it all the time. They're teaching the little children, they're talking to the children, and here's this dear granddaughter, and grandma's gone on to heaven, and now she's coming back to God, she's coming back to Jesus, living for Jesus. And I know we got some Christian grandpas, but it just seems like all these stories, it's just grandma. And so, oh, are we ever thankful for that? And I tell you, the children know that their grandmas just love them and will teach them about Jesus and tell them about Jesus. And that's what it's all about, just to help people come to know Christ and then to help them if they drift away, to help them to come back. And so we'd sure like to have you write to us, if you will. And so you get your pencil and paper, and at the close of the service, I'll tell you about how you can write to us and some of the things we have to offer, some good things to offer. But let's look at this message that we got planned for today. It's entitled, When You Pass Through the Fire. When you pass through the fire. The Holy Scriptures teach many, many truths, but I don't believe there's any truth any more precious than the fact that God never takes his eyes off of his children. When we become a Christian, a child of God, we have the assurance that wherever we travel, wherever we live, wherever we might pass through, the eye of the Lord is upon us. That God knows all about us, and he gives us help, and he gives us strength. And even when we have the hard things of life that we can't understand, and the evil things, some things that are just evil that happen to our life, yet God is going to take those hard things and those bad things, he's going to bring good out of them. And so God, he loves you. God loves the whole world and not willing that any should perish. He loves the whole world, but he loves the children of God more, even more. He loves the whole world, no question about it. He died for you, but once we receive him, he loves us even more. Paul talks about that in Romans 5, verse 10. He says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so he died for us while we're sinners, and he loved us while we're sinners. But once we open our heart to Jesus and the Son of God enters into our hearts, God loves us even more in a special way. So always keep in mind, child of God, that the Heavenly Father loves you with an everlasting love and that his eye is ever upon you. And all your journey, the wilderness journey, they travel through this world and this life. His eye is upon you and he never takes it off of you. In Romans 8, 28, we are told, we know that all things work together. We know that all things work together to those who love the Lord, those who are the called according to his purpose. And so we can know this, know the truth, that all things work together for the child of God. So God gives us his word. He ever loves us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He will always be faithful to us no matter what. If the whole world wicked is lost, not one of his precious children would ever be lost. And so when we put our faith in Jesus, we have everlasting life, eternal life, and we will never perish. God will keep that true. So listen to the glorious words of the great prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3, he says, God says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. What a wonderful promise. Oh, how it speaks to the troubled soul. Look at the comfort that it brings when you read this promise that God gives us. Look at the assurance that it gives. But praise God for his word. And we also need to notice, too, that God is telling us in so many words that when we make this wilderness journey, there are going to be deep waters in every Christian's life. There are going to be great troubles for God's children right now below. There will be fires that will burn and will hurt us. Yes, indeed, the followers of Jesus Christ are going to suffer in this world. But notice, God is also saying, in the midst of the suffering and the sorrow, God's power and strength is sufficient, so that he can say, the rivers shall never drown us, the fires shall never consume us. And thank God for that, that wonderful God who's God over all helps us to take through the hard things of life. David alluded to these trials when he said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Naturally, we don't like to be led. We like to lead ourselves. We don't want anybody telling us anything. And so we just do our own thing, go our own way, do what we like. That's human nature, and it's not good, it's bad. So be that David, when he talks about being led, he means that God is taking him through his own paths to his heavenly home. God is leading us, And when you come to the fire and the flood, God is leading us. And so let's look at some of these things when we have about leading us through the fire and the flood. First of all, remember this, he leads us in the correct paths so that we will bring honor to his name. We carry his name, you know, Christian, Christ, I-A-N. That means Christ, and without Christ, I am nothing. It's all Jesus Christ. We are his representatives in this world. People just expect more of a Christian. Never forget that Paul instructs us, and he tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God." So we are representatives. We represent Christ in an alien world. We represent Christ before men and women. Some of them are wicked people and some are desperate people. And so God directs our paths so that we'll always honor his name and so that we can be instrumental in bringing people to Jesus. He leads us so that we can be happier. The world is not happy. They think they're happy, but they don't know what real happiness is. And that's why they have their parties, and that's why they have their drinking and all their lewd things that they do. That's why so many get into drugs and many other things. They are searching for something, and that something is Jesus. And you're never really happy till you have Jesus. I know that I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord, and I thought to myself, oh, I didn't know much about it, you know, being in sin and all the things of the world, but I know this. The next day, now when I accepted the Lord, I didn't hear any voices. I didn't see any lights or anything like that. I just had that evangelist say that if you want Jesus, you have to ask him into your heart. He'll take away your sins and wash away your sins. And that's what I did. And the next day, I remember I felt like all the sins of the world had been rolled off my shoulders, 10 years old. And so that wonderful Lord Jesus, I never knew happiness until I knew Jesus. And when I knew the Lord, all the world thinks they're having a good time. And the next morning, they're just wasted away. And it leads them in all kinds of sin and all kinds of immorality. And they're searching, looking. They want to, and God is there. And we are made so that we have an apartment for God. And until that department of God, that part of our body, until that God, Christ enters into our heart, then we are never really going to be happy. You will never know what happiness and contentment is until you have Jesus. And so then he takes us through these troubles and trials also so that we'll be more useful to him. Our purpose for existence is to honor God. That's what we're created for, to honor God. We're not created to see how much money we can make, how much money we can leave. I remember when somebody, a rich man, died. And somebody says, well, I wonder how much he left. The other guy says, I don't know, but I understand he left it all. And so all of his life he spent for something that's going to die when he dies. And we want to do something for God that will live forever. And he that winneth souls to righteousness is going to shine as the stars forever and ever. Do something that lives after you're gone. Don't have everything die when you die. How sad. And so God leads us through life. He directs us in the paths of righteousness. And so there are going to be the rivers and the floods and all of the rest, but it's going to cause us to grow and mature and be servants of God. Sometimes we're placed in the fire so as to strengthen our love. Jesus is very interested in how we love him. It's all important. When people really love one another, they always are anxious to know what the loved one wants and how they can please a loved one. God is our lover, and we want to love him, and we want to give the best to him, and we want to please God because we are the one that he loves. But listen to me, friend. Love can fade. Love can go away. This can happen in a marriage. I don't know how many people I've married, and they're happy, and they're in love. But some of them, the love cooled down, and later on, some of them even broke up. You have to work at this manner of love. And some people say, well, you can't legislate love. Oh, yes, you can legislate love. What does God say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy might and heart and soul and all the rest of it. That's a command to love God. And he tells us you to love your spouse and to love your children and to love your parents and to love a life that will honor God. And so sometimes we're put through the fire and the flame and the flood because God needs to shake us up and turn our eyes on him and get back to God and walking with God and serving him. That's the purpose of life. And that's where real joy is when we serve Jesus, that wonderful Jesus. And then sometimes we're placed in the fire to test our obedience. God puts us the fire and to see if we really mean what we say and what we pray. Daniel was a man who prayed to God, and he openly prayed to God. And every day he would stand and go to his window and kneel before his window facing Jerusalem while he was a captive in Babylon, and he would pray to his God. And so pretty soon God, I think, says, well, now I'm going to give you a chance to see if you really love me, if you're really obedient to me, if you're obedient to the very end. And so the enemies put up a sign, and they put up a law. And that law was that if anybody prayed to anybody but the king, he would be put into a den of lions. So the next day, there was Daniel, window wide open. He could have gotten in the closet and prayed and explained it to God. But no, he prays in that window. And so it's going to be the lion's den. They're going to put him in the wildest den. They were wild and they're mean and they're long-toothed animals. And they're starving these animals. So that when somebody's thrown in there, they're going to be shredded in no time at all. That's the future that he has. And so he's cast into this den with the half-starved, snarling beasts. He's thrown in there because he was faithful to God. And I can just see Daniel being thrown in. And there he was smack dab on some shaggy old lion. And I can see them glaring at Daniel and they want to get a meal. And they can see him standing there like, well, maybe you could call it a standing rib roast. I don't know. But I know they're licking their chops. And it makes me want to just shake to talk about it and think about it. But do you know what God did? He did a double whammy on those lions. And he gave them lockjaw and paralysis of the paw. He gave them both. And they couldn't even scratch the fleas on their back. And there you have it. Daniel passed through the waters of the fire, and he came forth as pure gold. They couldn't touch him because God is seeing him through all these terrible times. He is there. He is with them. Solomon writes in Proverbs 17:3, silver and gold are purified by fire, but God purifies hearts. Thus it was that God puts on through the fire so as to refine us, to purify us, to make us as we should be, to make us better, to make us purer, to make us more solid. That's why the tests come. He never tempts us to do evil, but he tests us to bring out the good. You see the same thing with the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're all to bow down before the monstrosity of an idol and worship that idol and pray to that idol. And the three Hebrew children fearlessly and clearly, well, listen, this is what they said in Daniel 3, 17 and 18. If so be, they're going to be cast in a burning fiery furnace. If so be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And they stand true, and they come out of that fire, and they can't even have the smell of smoke. God, they're showing their obedience and their love and their faith and walking to God. And then another, there we see it also, and if we go through the fire, and it shows us our trust. How we trust God, how we believe in God. And our faith ebbs and flows. It comes and goes. Sometimes it's strong and sometimes it's weak. And it's kind of like a muscle. If you don't use it, it's not going to become strong, this matter of faith. God continually tests our faith. He tested Noah when he called him to build a monstrosity of an ark. And he's to build there out in his backyard, his back acres of land. And there isn't even a puddle of water in sight. As a matter of fact, is when you come to the Bible, you never read of it ever raining until you come to Noah's Ark. You read instead there's a heavy dew water the face of the earth, but no mention of rain. And how they must have laughed at Noah when he built that ark and when made fun of him. But it took a lot of faith for old Noah to build that ark. But he moved true, proved true. And it looked like it was crazy, but it was of the Lord God calling him. And he did it. And he shines as the stars of the light, stars of the sky to this day. Sometimes God allows the fire to gather around us so to teach us patience, pure old patience. Paul is a good example of this. He was in prison, but he loved trusting Jesus just the same. From his prison, he wrote many wonderful letters in the New Testament. From his prison, he witnessed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have people, so many we hear from the prisons, and I tell them all the same thing. I tell them about Paul, and I said, witness for Jesus, shine for Jesus. You're there as a minister. You're there as a missionary, a minister to the minister of the word. Stand true. Witness for Christ if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, we'll send literature. We'll always send literature anyway. I know some of you today who worship with us on radio and television, and you've been in a sort of a prison or some ailment. Maybe it's like a bed. Maybe it's a wheelchair. God may well know to teach you patience. Maybe that's what he wants to teach us. And any way you can shine for Jesus, know wherever you are, you can just be patient and shine on and just go through the fire and the flood. Peter writes to the Christians in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, and he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, knowing that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Believers are going to have troubles and trials, and when you think about the persecuted church, I admire that persecuted church, and they're going through the fire and the flood, and some of them are giving their lives, because not all of them are respected, but God will be with you, even the loss of life. He's with you. And then finally, God sin puts us down the fire and the flood, so that we have true humility. How proud we are in the flesh. Proud of just anything. Proud of our looks, even then we're not good looking. Proud if we have $10 in our pocketbook. And proud of that. And I had a cowboy friend out in western South Dakota. He was proud that he had bow legs if he didn't look horrible. And he was proud of those bow legs so he could ride those bulls, those bucking horses. God never uses a proud person. God said, did you know that? There's not a place in the Bible. That poison is pride is just like poison to God. And there isn't a place where a proud person is used in all of the Bible. James tells us, Peter tells us in chapter 5 and verse 5, God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. And Solomon talks about the proud. And he says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than for him. Proverbs 26, verse 12. And we all know the admonition that given in Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. So when the fire descends, perhaps God is trying to cleanse us, maybe myself, and tell us, you just be listening to this. It's all God. It's none of you. And I'm just using you. I could get a good parent and he could preach like you can preach. So don't get proud, Buster. And he talks, and James says in chapter 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. So give yourself to the Lord. Say, just ask him into your heart. Ask him, Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sins. I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus, and write to us. Write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, 2002, in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And write to us if you have a suggestion or an idea or a thought or a question. And if you want to help us with the work, and believe me, we have to have your help in order for us to carry on. And you can send that on the internet if you want to, christianworshiphour.com. And from anywhere in the world, we'll get in American currency and we'll pay our bills. If you'd like to have the film about the heart of a shepherd, you write to us and I give you the address there. And I'm going to give it again for the shortwave people just a minute. You write to us, and if you can send an offering, all right. If you don't have a penny, we'll send it to you free and postpaid. Or if you want to have the little Bible study where we're going to talk about the eyes of the Lord, and I just love it. It's going to bless you, but you have to write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And let me say this. When you send your gift, you can be sure that it'll be used for the things of the gospel, because we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, and they have every penny we take in and every penny we spend, and it all goes for preaching the gospel. So you write to us, and our people now, shortwave, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Now I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the persecuted church in Indonesia today. Help them to know, and all over the world, we're praying for them, Indonesia. Help them not to be weary in well-doing, but to stand true. Lord, I pray for those who are on beds of sickness. I pray for the young people, some of them facing terrible temptations. I pray for couples that are having trouble. I'm praying for the children that they'll all come to Jesus and put their faith in you, and we can finish well. And we can meet each other in heaven and talk about it. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So one more time, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I have to tell you this. God loves you. Even in your sin, in your wickedness, no matter what you've done, he loves you. And he wants you to come to him and accept him. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you, and all of us working to get all these works done and get the message out. Now for over 40 years, we love you. And I want you to know that I love you. And I want to see you in heaven. I want to see what you look like. I want to talk to you, what you went through, how you heard the message, and how the Holy Spirit talked to you. Oh, and I want to worship the Lord Jesus with you. And round the King, we'll be praising God for the wonderful, glorious salvation. So we want to be thinking about you and praying for you. Put your faith in Jesus now. Be sure to let us know. Write to us. Let us know. And so next week, Lord willing, we'll be back. And we'll be preaching the wonderful gospel of God. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.